You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to a new Premier League season 2015-2016. The Punt is back. Dave Kellner here in the studio with Lee Phelps and Derek McGovern back as well, ready for a new season's action. And this has been planned out beautifully, Lee. No one's here with me.
Yeah, no, sorry about that. I am. I decided to go away just before the season started. The perils of leaving your wife to book the holiday. But, you know, I'm in Greece. It's 38 degrees. I decided to act like Liverpool and use overinflated sterling to get more than I should out of people who are struggling in Europe.
Oh, was he dying to shoehorn that one in?
That's the voice of Derek McGovern. Welcome, Derek.
How are you doing all? Welcome. Good to be back.
It is indeed. We'll get straight stuck in and we'll... I mean, the real season starts next week, so that's when we'll get stuck into the matches and everyone will be... Well, some of us will be back next week. We've got the Premier League outright, first of all, chaps. Chelsea 6-4 favourites to win the Premier League. Man City 11-4. Arsenal 9-2. Man United 5-1. Liverpool 25-1. Three figures and bigger the rest here with William Hill. Derek, we'll start with Chelsea. It's whether or not other teams have done enough to catch Chelsea, because Jose Mourinho hasn't lost any of his confidence after he was... After his team were beaten by New York Red Bulls in a friendly, he said, "You are speaking with the best manager of the best team in England. We don't have any frailties." So that confidence hasn't gone, has it, Derek?
No, it hasn't. But it's surprising. He's been surprisingly quiet in the transfer window. Other teams have strengthened. He hasn't done anything. In fact, he's probably weakened in signing Falcao. So I'm not sure where his confidence comes from. And remember, you know, the 6-4 favourites, and probably deservedly so, because they won it doing handsprings last season. But they were 15-8 at the start of last term, when there was only really one rival for them, Manchester City. Now, you have to say that Arsenal and Man United, you know, come into that reckoning. And yet, they're only 6-4 now. Chelsea, you know, the value has definitely gone. And I'm still, I know I've been banging this drum, so on my own, no one else is banging it, about their main striker, Diego Costa. I just don't see him. I don't see everybody gives six to Arsenal, saying, well, they're not going to win the league with Olivier Giroud up front. I'm not sure Costa is the man, you know. Yes, I know they won it last season with him, but mainly due to Eden Hazard. So I think they're I don't think Chelsea are a better 6-4. I think Manchester City at 11-4. I think their squad is fantastic. Sterling has improved it without question. And you know, I just see them going from strength to strength this season. I think at 11-4, I'd much sooner be on them.
Man City at 11-4 in the betting. Lee, Diego Costa, he only got 20 goals last season. Didn't manage to score in the Champions League though.
No, you know, Derek's got his point of view, and I think I'll oppose it all season again. I think he missed part of the season with that hamstring. I think he's a bully. I think he's a kind of centre forward that you don't want to play against when you're a defender. You know, I think he'll score 20 plus again in the Premier League, and I do think that Chelsea could do with adding to that, you know, with some, you know, a bit more quality. It's always dangerous when a winning team, it's kind of like, you know, the Liverpool team that we kind of grew up with in the 80s, they always strengthened when they were winning things, as did Sir Alex Ferguson, you know, with that great Manchester United team. So, you know, I would like to see him add more, but I do think Chelsea will win the title. I agree with Derek, there's very little value. I wouldn't be having that bet with so long to go before you get paid out. I'd be looking at a straight forecast, I think, in terms of getting some value out of that. And I actually think Man United will be the team who finished second. I don't think Man City will improve this season. What I've done is I've had a look at the top four as I think it will be, and looked at who can improve. Chelsea finished on 87 points last season, didn't lose a home game. Yeah, look, they might lose one, but his record at home is sensational, isn't it? Only drew four at home. They lost three away from home and drew five. And that includes that kind of end of the season once they'd won the title and just seemed to be kind of coasting to the finish line. So I think if they're pushed to the line, I think Chelsea could actually do better than 87 points. But you look at that. I mean, they won the league by 8 clear points from Man City. Can Man City make up 8 points, 9 even, on Chelsea? I think the problem with Man City was, last season, that the players seemed to have either fallen out of love or Pellegrini wasn't getting the right kind of message to them. They didn't seem to be on song all season long. Now, if Pellegrini was such a problem, why haven't they replaced him? I don't see them improving by 9 points this term. Even with, I think Sergio Aguero is my favourite player in the Premier League. I think he's one of the best players in the Premier League. Company should be better this season. Mm. You know, other players haven't had international tournaments from Europe, that is, in the summer, so they'll be more rested. So, you know, they can improve, but I don't think they'll improve by 9 points, personally. And then you look at Arsenal. Admittedly, Cech's a fantastic signing. I think he will give them quite a lot of solidity at the back and a lot more captaincy. That's what they need, but I still think they need more. Now, they finished a clear 12 points behind Chelsea. No way are Arsenal picking up 13 more points than Chelsea will this season. They lost 7 games all told, 2 at home and 5 away, Arsenal. Now, Man United, 70 points they finished on. That's 9 behind Man City. Man United lost 3 games at Old Trafford. I wouldn't be surprised if they lose 1 at Old Trafford this season. They're 6 points straight away. They also drew more games than any of the top 4 teams last season. So let's say they shave off 3 draws there and turn those into wins. You're suddenly looking at maybe them picking up another 5 or 6 points. And they lost 5 away games as well, drawing 8 of them. You know, their away form was really poor. I think Man United have got more improvement in them with those signings. You know, I think Schneiderlin's a great signer. I think Schweinsteiger's good. Demian's good as well. And of course, we don't know what the Dutch lad's going to be like. I mean, I think he will be a star. I think he's got enough. I think we see that players who come from the Dutch league do have enough about them in the Premier League in terms of the strength, in terms of the way the leagues are quite similar, that they can hit the ground running. So,
yeah.
But for me, it's Chelsea to win it with Man United second in the straight forecast. I think that's a reasonable price.
It's a good price. 8-1 if you fancy Chelsea to win the league and Manchester United to finish second. What do you make to Manchester United, Derek? Their signings, they've made 4 big signings. Lee's referenced them. Darmian's in, Memphis Depay has arrived, and Bastian Schweinsteiger and Morgan Schneiderlin maybe adding a little bit of solidity to that midfield.
Yeah, but are their 4 signings any better than Liverpool's 4 signings? I'm not sure they are. There's no Galactico there. No one that's going to change it. No one's going to make them a title-winning side. They're both tidy players. You could say the same about Liverpool too. I know I don't see it. I just don't see Lee's confidence in Man United. They'll be in the top 4 probably, but no, they won't be. They won't be in the running for the title. I look at United's squad now, and unless Rooney's firing, I don't see anything there. I really don't.
I did look at Liverpool, Derek, and I looked at them long and hard, because I thought, the players that they had last season who maybe struggled early on will have had one more season, and they'll have grown and all the rest of it. My worry about Benteke is, and I think he's a fabulous player, but I don't see how he really fits into a Brendan Rodgers style of team. There was a great article, I think it was in The Guardian a few weeks ago, whereby they looked at Benteke before and after Sherwood came in at Villa, and they looked at his stats, and when it's ball to feet, he's one of the worst players for the first touch in that Villa team. But when you're looking at balls into the box, he's obviously one of the best in the Premier League. And so as soon as Sherwood came in, he made a proper effort to get the ball into the box to him. And he was pretty blatant about it, wasn't he? And he started scoring goals. This is the problem with Andy Carroll. He didn't fit into Brendan Rodgers' style of play. I think if they started to get balls in the box, I think Benteke is unplayable on his day. I'm not saying he's Didier Drogba, but he's that kind of player where he can really bully a defence. I just worry that they'll try and play it to feet all the time, and it'll negate what he's best at.
Just to come back on that, Lee, I think when Aston Villa had Benteke in, it'd be before Sherwood arrived, they were just lumping long balls forward to Benteke, and he wasn't. And that sort of skewed his statistics, because he was never going to be able to control the ball well, and he was winning knockdowns, but there was no one there to support him. I think Liverpool will get more players more players there that can play around Benteke than Villa did.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And at knockdowns, he is one of the best in the league.
Yeah,
so
he is.
That's how they need to play it. So, I mean, look, if he hits the ground running, I think Liverpool got every chance of finishing in the top 4. I just worry a little bit about him, and just about Liverpool being a little fragile. But no, I take the point. I could well be proved wrong. I'm just he's not quite the finished product for me. He didn't quite do it for a full season like someone like Diego Costa does.
How would you play in a straight forecast?
I thought I was going to get away with that then.
How would you play in the straight forecast market then, Derek?
I'd play Man City, Chelsea in a straight forecast. The third and fourth places, I think, are wide open for 3 teams, Arsenal, Man United and Liverpool. Because Liverpool, They can't make the mistake they made with all the Suarez money was they bought moderately. I think these players they brought in now offer them a little bit more. I could be proven wrong, but Liverpool could be a surprise package this season. They're not going to win the title, but top four, definite possibility.
Who are they going to get in net? Who's going to play keeper for Liverpool this season?
They're having Rush keeper this season. Ian Rush is way too old, Derek. I know you all love him. No way is Ian Rush coming back now.
They've brought in Adam Bogdan and they've got Simon Mignolet. They just look weak in that area, don't they?
They're putting Mignolet right back this season. I think Mignolet, on his day, is a great keeper. Yeah, he had a shaky spell, but he came back quite strong. Yeah, he doesn't convince as much as, you know, some of the great keepers Liverpool have had, but give him another chance. I don't think there's too much wrong with him. I don't think he was Liverpool's problem last season, to be honest.
Top four prices, by the way, chaps. Chelsea 1-33 in the top four market. Man City 1-16. Arsenal 1-6. Man United 1-4. Liverpool 9-4. Tottenham 5-1. Southampton 12-1. Everton 14s and 50-1. And bigger the rest. Lee, how's your top four looking? Do you see Liverpool sneaking there at 9-4? Is there a surprise package in that market?
Well, you know, if you're betting on it, you have to play Liverpool. You can't play any of the four that you've mentioned. That's the four I think will finish in the top four, though. I think it'll be Chelsea, Man United, Arsenal, Man City, maybe. But, yeah, I'm not going to suggest that for any bet. It'd have to be Liverpool, I think. I mean, if Tottenham get Berahino or they get someone who's got some goals to go alongside Kane, then maybe. But the two wishy-washy for me, really. I think Liverpool are the standout team amongst the rest of them. So, yeah, that 9-4 Liverpool, it's the only bet for me. I can't see anyone, no one other than those five, in my opinion, can finish in the top four. So it has to be Liverpool. Yeah.
Derek?
Yeah, that's correct. I would favour Liverpool above Man United finishing the top four, but no surprise there. I know you're going to go on to the relegation bet in a minute, but I've picked out a couple of bets elsewhere. Palace in the top half, 5-2. Now, I thought they were sensational. Every time I watched them last season, Palace, I was impressed. And Alan Pardew did a fantastic job with them. I don't understand why they're 5-2 to finish in the top half, while West Ham are 7-4. Just doesn't make any sense, that to me. Now, here's another interesting fact, because I'm with Palace this season, right? Palace in the top six, 16-1. Now, that ain't going to happen, because you've got Liverpool or Man United fifth and probably Tottenham sixth. But Palace to finish above any of those clubs will be a massive surprise. But if you back Palace without the big six, without those six I've just mentioned, 12-1, not much of a difference is there between 12-1 and 16-1. And yet, you know, would it be a big surprise if Palace finished seventh? It'd be a massive surprise if you finished sixth. But seventh, you've got nothing to beat. So I'm having a bet on that. 12-1, Palace without the big six.
So Palace, your team you're following this season then, Derek?
Definitely Palace, yeah. I might have the Stoke will get mentioned in dispatches too, but Palace are my surprise packages.
You can pick them up if Liverpool start badly, Derek. Drop Liverpool and get Palace on side.
By the way, do we get like a second go at this once the transfer window's closed? Because, you know, all this is dependent on the transfer window, of course. What if Stoke come in and buy a £50 million striker? I like Stoke as well, though. You know, every year I like to have a handicap bet at the start of the season. Every year it loses, but I'll still go on with that. You know, at around the 16-1 mark, I think I can afford to keep doing it. So I went with Stoke last year, and I think they came third. Swansea actually won it last year. The handicap market. I think it was Swansea, Southampton, then Stoke. I think I'll go with them again. I think Stoke have probably got. Yeah, I like Mark Hughes. He's not going to do anything spectacular, but that reasoning that Derek just gave, I think that also stands true for Stoke, as he mentioned. Palace, yeah. I mean, Newcastle are an interesting team. I was all over Newcastle getting relegated at the end of last season. Those signings they've made could be interesting. The manager's obviously a bit of a work in progress as well in the Premier League. He's never quite done it in the Premier League, has he? But yeah, I'll go for Stoke as my handicap bet. So effectively, if you look at the handicap table, looking at them as the team who finished top of the table come the end of the season.
Let's move on to the relegation markets then. Watford 8-13 for the drop. Norwich even money. Bournemouth are 6-5. Sunderland 2-1. Aston Villa 5-2. Leicester 3-1. Newcastle 4-1. West Brom 5-1. Crystal Palace 11-2. And it's 6-1 and bigger the rest. This is an interesting market. 8-13 Watford for the drop. Lack of stability. It is often addressed as an issue, Lee, pre-season. But Slavisa Jokanovic was their fourth manager last season. He was at the helm when they gained promotion, but he's been replaced now with Kike Sanchez Flores. So they've been They've been through managers, Watford, but they're still in this position in the Premier League now, 8-13 for the drop, though.
It's insane, isn't it? I mean, they fly in the face of everything that you should be doing when it comes to management, and they just keep going. And I think one of the reasons they keep going is that they have got some very good players. You know, it remains to be seen whether they can transform. I suppose, you know, the players I'm talking about are Vidra, Forestieri, and Gini. You know, they are goal scorers. Now, I don't buy into the fact that you just bring up strikers from the from lower division and they're a hit, but you kind of expect that one of the three, or even if you're lucky, two of the three could be. You know, I suppose you look at what happened to Burnley as a good example. You know, they never managed to get one of their two main strikers fit, but Danny Ings did all right for himself. So, you know, I think if they can get one of those two players, one of those three players firing, get two firing, I think they could do well there. As far as transfers go, I mean, Capoue from Spurs, cost them a bit of money, $6 million. They brought in Gerardo from Spartak Moscow as well, $6 million. Quite a few foreign players again, a couple from the Bundesliga as well. Now, they're going to take a bit of time to settle in. 8-13, I think two of the three will probably go from the teams who've come up, but I think Watford might be all right. I think, you know, if they can get their home form going, just depends on what happens with the management. If it's too unstable, I think they might struggle, but if goals are anything to go by, I think that they'll push staying safe this season.
I quite like Kike Flores to be next Premier League manager to leave. 6-1.
Can we have then the next manager who was appointed by Watford be the next manager as well?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? There's such they just burn through managers that 6-1. I mean, Brendan Rodgers, Derek, is favourite in that market at 5-1. Surely, if they were going to get rid of Rodgers, it'd have been like in the middle of last season when they went through that torrid spell.
Yeah, there's no chance of him going. Absolutely no chance. Yeah, Watford are a funny team, aren't they? 8-13 are favourites, so, you know, the shortest price of any to go down. And you look at them and you think, yeah, it all depends who they bring in, you know, before the transfer window closes. I'm talking managers, not players. I don't really see them thriving in the top flight. Whereas Bournemouth, they could be anything, couldn't they? You know, they played tremendously last season. All three teams, by the way, all three teams who have come up scored a bag full of goals last season. All more than 80 goals, and all the six previous teams who came up who scored that many goals all stayed up their first season, so there's a good sign for them. Bournemouth, I think, will stay up. I mean, you know, even in their cup runs, they looked impressive, didn't they? I think, you know, people are saying they'll have to defy expectations to stay alive in the top flight, but I think people who live in Bournemouth have to defy expectations merely to stay alive. I mean, it's a place where old people go to die, isn't it, really? I'm going to go for them to stay up. But Villa are my team, 5-2 to go down. I mean, they look shocking last season. They've lost their two best players. And yet, okay, Tim Sherwood's got money to bring in replacements. But where's he going to get two players who turned it on for them as much as they did last season, Delph and Benteke? I just can't see. He's not going to make a major sign, and he's going to buy, you know, moderate players, and they're just not going to do it for them. I think they're set to go down. And Sunderland, well, come on, it's about time, isn't it? Sunderland went down. I'm fed up with them. There should be a new bet every Sunderland game. Sunderland to score before the first disgruntled fan leaves the stadium. I mean, you know, that would be an interesting one. The first disgruntled manager in my league this season. I've got to go for that. I'm going to go for Sunderland, Villa and Watford to go down.
Watford 8-13, Sunderland 2-1, Aston Villa 5-2. I do love that Villa bet, Lee. You look at where they finished the last four seasons. They finished 16th, 15th, 15th and 17th. And they've got worse. I think their squad this season's the worst they've had it.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what Derek's just said. To be honest with you, I mean, Villa, my two away from the three who came up are Villa and West Brom. Actually, I mean, and for similar kind of reasons, I suppose. The finish of the season wasn't, you know, particularly impressive. The Villa thing, if you asked Villa fans who their five most effective players were last season, Benteke and Delph would definitely be in there. And Vyman, I mean, I was really surprised that Vyman went. You know, I think Agbonlahor is in front of him in the pecking order, but Vyman, whenever he played, he always seemed to impress me. So I think losing those three players, you're losing a lot of attacking goals from Benteke and Vyman. Obviously, Delph, look, you know, this is one of those ones where I'm bound to be proved wrong, but I don't really see the Delph thing as much as everyone else does, but hopefully, fingers crossed, he'll turn into a fabulous player. Man City obviously sees something in him. I mean, they've brought in, you know, a few big, you know, kind of big signings for them, I guess, you know, 8 and 7, 6 millions. But they've got to settle in quick. They're all from foreign clubs. You know, they're all teams who, all players who, you know, we see the names splashed around the foreign leagues, but, you know, we're talking about league earned players. And I'm never quite sold on French, you know, the French top flight as being that good a division, you know, a couple of clubs aside. So yeah, I'm not sure about Villa at all. And West Brom, look, if Berahino goes to Spurs, if he goes anywhere, to be honest with you, and he's, you know, it seems like his agent's always angling for a move, then I think that they lose, you know, over, you know, a third of their goals in one fell swoop, and they haven't got a lot of goals to replace that with. I'm not impressed very much by their signings either, to be honest with you. I don't think they've really strengthened too much. So you know, I think that could be a tricky season for them. Sunderland, yeah. I think they might scrape it, like Derek says, like they always do, don't they? The other two clubs that came up, it's interesting what Derek said about that. That was a great stat about the goals as well. You know, he mentioned about the, you know, those teams who've scored more than 80 staying up. And I think it's down to what I said before about Watford. Which of those strikers coming up from the Championship can turn that into Premier League form? You know, you look at Bournemouth, Kermit Grant, Wilson, Pittman, all scored goals and they spread them out. Also, Richie from midfield. I'm not sure they'll get goals from midfield as easy as they did in the Championship. I actually thought Bournemouth looked a little bit lightweight when they played in the cup competition. Admittedly, it was against Liverpool, you know, when we saw kind of the worst of them, if you like. They'll either be a Swansea and manage to pass it around and stop teams from playing, or they'll get eaten up. But I tend to agree with Derek. I think they've probably got enough. Norwich are interesting. Norwich have got a lot of players who have Premier League experience.
Yeah.
But they've all gone down. They haven't stayed in the Premier League.
Yeah.
That was a key for me. You know, you look at players like Johnson, scored 15 goals from midfield last season, was tremendous last season in the Championship. Housen as well, you know. But then they haven't stayed in the Premier League. Cameron Jerome scored 21 goals. He's one of those players who's hovering in between the Premier League and the Championship. Gary Hooper, Lewis Graben, I don't think they're Premier League players. And I think they've proved that they're not Premier League players. So, you know, deep down somewhere, I think they'll be doubting themselves a little bit. So for me, Norwich would be the one to go down for definite out of the three who come up. And I'll go with, if I had to pick three, I'll go with Villa, Norwich and Bournemouth. I think Watford might just scrape it somehow.
Norwich even money, Bournemouth 6-5, Aston Villa 5-2 for the drop. And we'll finish with this weekend's match in the English Community Shield, Chelsea versus Arsenal. Chelsea 6-4, the draw 9-4 and Arsenal 15-8. Headline offers, Diego Costa to score and Chelsea to win in 90 minutes is 3-1. Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win in 90 minutes, 6-1. And on the Arsenal side of things, Theo Walcott to score and Arsenal to win in 90 is 5-1. And Olivier Giroud to score and Arsenal to win in 90 is in the market at 4-1. Derek, there's been a tendency in recent times for these to be quite entertaining, these matches. And the last five have produced 19 goals between them. And this one should be good as well, because Arsenal have been playing some decent football in pre-season friendlies, and this is a pre-season friendly.
Yeah, too right. In fact, when he won the Emirates Cup last week, they actually won two trophies, their first and their last. I don't think they're going to be winning anything else. You know, Chelsea haven't got a great record in this competition. I think they've only won one of the last six they've played, and I think that was against Arsenal, by the way, 10 years ago. But, you know, this matters, doesn't it, for Mourinho, because it's against his old foe, Arsene Wenger.
Yeah.
There's no love lost between those two, and where Mourinho's concerned, not many games lost. I mean, he's called Wenger a voyeur in the past, and also a specialist in failure. Now, as a voyeur is defined as one who sees, and Wenger sees nothing. He even fails in that. he fails as a voyeur. What, you know, where does the man come from? I'm going to go for Chelsea to win this, because under Mourinho, Chelsea win the games that matter. Now, luckily for Arsenal, this one doesn't matter. But unluckily for Arsenal, Chelsea will still win it. I just don't see Arsenal. I mean, yeah, they have impressed pre-season, but how many teams impress in pre-season? And it means diddly squat. Quite a lot, you'll find. I just look at Chelsea's team, and man for man, it's a better squad. It's a stronger squad. Chelsea just don't lose against Arsenal these days, and I'm surprised actually that Chelsea are as big as 6-4 to win it in 90 minutes. They've got that man Hazard, and you look through that Arsenal squad and you see tidy players everywhere. You don't see a Hazard, you don't see him in any team, to be honest. I think he's a sensational player, and if Chelsea are to win the title, it's essential that he stays fit for them. But he's the big difference, and I just don't see Chelsea losing. A 6-4, I think, is a very good bet for this match.
6-4 for Chelsea to win it. Lee, Derek made reference to Wenger and Mourinho there and their battle in the Premier League. This stat will be trotted out in the lead up to the match, but Wenger has never beaten Jose Mourinho in 13 attempts. So he will want to make some sort of statement this weekend. I think it's a big match for Arsene Wenger and Arsenal.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, Derek's right as well, though, isn't he? You know, although it wouldn't matter to Mourinho normally, maybe this one would. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to get into the mindset of someone like Jose Mourinho. You know, you also could argue that maybe he'd be the kind of guy who'd go, no, I'm just going to let him win this one. And then when he crows about it, I'll just say it's friendly. You know, and he'll probably use that. If he does lose it, he'll probably come out afterwards and go, yeah, you know, glorified friendly, who cares? But I think there'll be goals. I do think there'll be a few goals in it. I mean, over 2.5. I'm not sure I'd stretch to over 3.5 necessarily. But I was looking back through those stats that you mentioned about how many goals have been in recent games. And it tends to be a lot of second-half goals as well, I noticed. I think, you know, the Man City game against Chelsea the other year, there was 4 of the 5 came in the second half. So maybe a tight first half and, you know, over 1.5 goals in the second half might be a play. I haven't got the website up here in Greece. No one's got enough money to bet with, unfortunately. So you might have to help me out on the price there.
Yes, second half to be the highest scoring half is even money, Lee.
Yeah, over 1.5 second half might get you a little bit more value than I guess. But I'm not sure about the result, if I'm being totally honest. You know, in normal time, I might even go for something like a 2-2 draw. You know, a draw in normal time. I just don't know if anyone cares enough.
It's interesting what you said, Lee, though, about how you view the game, isn't it? I mean, if you're in it, it's a big game, isn't it? You know, this is the fans I'm talking about. If your team's in it, it's a big game. It also means you're coming off a good season. If your team's not in it, it's just a glorified friendly. But if your team is never in it, it means you're a Geordie. Or an Evertonian, for that matter. I think I know what you mean. Mourinho, really, if you look at Mourinho's MO, he shouldn't care about this game. If it was against anybody but Arsenal, but because it's Arsenal and Wenger, I think they'll be a bang up for a Chelsea.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I don't see Mourinho ever not wanting to win a game, especially against Wenger. I just think that I think that second half goal stat is probably born out of the fact that teams will go into a match against one of their big rivals, you know, and try and keep it tight in the first half, and maybe a little bit of fatigue sets in, or, you know, that big pitch at Wembley, etc., etc. Is it a hot day there, DK? Is it hot at the minute in the UK?
It's. I don't think it's as hot as where you are, Lee, but I'm just looking out, and there's a little bit of sun at least.
I don't know if I mentioned it, but it's like 38 here. I think of all the bets that I like best, it'd be more goals in the second half than the first. I'd probably sit with that one, and probably just to spite Derek, Diego Costa to score any time.
Over 1.5 second half goals, by the way, is 23-20, Lee, if you fancy two or more second half goals in the game. And Diego Costa, 23-20 to score any time in the match. He's a fitness doubt, isn't he, I think, ahead of the weekend.
Yeah.
So you'll have to check team news there.
We'll have to wait and see if he's had one of those big pies at Desperate Dan for the match. If he's had one of them, it's all right.
I think he's a 5 o'clock shadow of his former self.
I can't wait. That's going to be one of the big storylines throughout the season on The Punt, how Diego Costa's performing this season.
But it doesn't matter, because even if he scores 25 goals, Derek will still say he's crap.
Well, the most famous one with that was Van Nistelrooy. People, I still say he was what Man United's worst ever signing, and people laugh, obviously, like Lee now. But you look at what Man United won when he was there, and I think they won the treble before he arrived. He won a bugger all, basically, for the next 4 or 5 seasons. And then when he left, I think they won the double. It's just, yeah. So you have a little look. You have a look at Man United in the Van Nistelrooy years, and you'll be surprised how little they won. But there you go. This is just to back up my Costa argument.
Yeah.
I've answered that before, and the only thing that's letting me down is my memory, because I can't remember. They have been, I'm sure they won stuff. I'm sure I've answered that. But I'll go for the draw, though, in the Community Shield, if I have to pick a result, by the way. The draw in 90 minutes.
The draw in 90 minutes is 9-4. They've not done badly with Costa so far. They've got a Premier League title, Derek, so you're behind the eight ball at the moment. Let's hope they don't win anything this season.
Well, that's only because of Hazard, not because of Costa.
Thank you, chaps. Pleasure as always, and we'll catch up next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.